Okay, thank you very much, operator. I'd like to thank you and welcome you to today's call. Well, we only have 5 more days until another historic first on Showtime for MMA when Strikeforce presents Carano versus Cyborg at the San Jose or the HP Pavilion in San Jose. The fight will start live at 5:30 at the HP Pavilion. The doors open at 5, first prelims at 5:30, the Showtime telecast will begin at 10:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. We're obviously can't wait for this fight card to happen. With us today on the call, we've got Renato Babalu Sobral, Jaygard Musasi, Jay Haran, and Scott Coker of Strikeforce. So again, thank you for your participation and your support for all our shows. At this point, I'd like to introduce Scott for some opening comments, and we'll work right on down the line.
Thanks, John. I'd just like to say that, you know, in addition to the Carano Cyborg fight, we have another 3, you know, action-packed fights that could be main events of their own. Two of the fights we have on the call today. And it's our commitment to, you know, Strikeforce's commitment to doing fights that aren't just have a main event and a good co-main event, but having a card that's stacked from top to bottom. And I'd just like to give you a piece of history on the first fight that we're going to talk about is the Babalu versus Gegard Mousasi fight. A lot of people feel that, you know, that fight was, you know, the fight to watch in addition to Fedor's fight on the Affliction card. And, you know, I believe that to be true, but the history of that fight was originally scheduled to be on the August 15th card, you know, way before Affliction called me and asked me, you know, can we use Babalu because we need him in L.A., you know, he's a good draw for us. So originally that fight was talked about and was scheduled, and Babalu was supposed to fight in San Jose on the 15th, and I was having preliminary conversations with Dreams about Gegard fighting that fight. So it's just ironic that, you know, with the chain of events that led to the Affliction canceling their promotion, that Gegard and Babalu are, you know, back on the fight card that they originally scheduled for. And so we're very happy and proud to have that fight as our co-main event on the Saturday. The other fight is Nick Diaz versus Jay Heron. And I'm sure a lot of you guys know the situation with Nick. So as far as I understand, he's supposed to be on his way to Los Angeles to, you know, take the test with the State Athletic Commission. Just to be very clear, on Friday, he did not show up for the test. And, you know, I talked to the commission. They said, okay, we'll let him come to L.A. on Monday. So that's what we had discussed. And, you know, as of 3 o'clock today, we'll know, you know, the situation a little bit more clearly. And then we'll probably get the results back on Thursday, is what they're telling me. So I'd also like to welcome Jay Heron to Strikeforce. Jay, we've been watching your fights for a long time, back when you were the IFL champion. You know, followed it, you know, with your last knockout. And I'd just like to welcome you to Strikeforce. Back to you, John.
Okay. Thanks, Scott. Okay, we'll start on down the line with some opening comments. We'll start with Babalu, who will be defending his Strikeforce Light Heavyweight Championship against Gegard in one of the main fights Saturday at the HP Pavilion on Showtime. Babalu, welcome to the call.
Hi, I'm very happy to fight. First of all, I would like to say thank you to Scott to put this fight on a card and in such a short notice, because he's supposed to have his he let me find a fiction, and I look for a fight for a long time, and he's a very good challenge for me, and I'm just very proud to be in a car. Just all the fights are gonna be amazing, and I'll for sure gonna give my life for the fan Strikeforce title.
Okay. Thanks, Babalu. So, you know, everyone in these two world title fights that we're talking about, the two of the four that are going to be this Saturday, everyone's on decent winning streaks. Babalu's won 5 in a row. Gegard's won 12 in a row. Jay's won 5 in a row and 7 of 8. And Nick's won 5 in a row and 6 of 7. So we've got guys coming in at the peak of their games to fight in these world title fights this coming Saturday. At this point, I'd like to introduce, welcome Gegard to the call and to make some opening comments. Gegard, welcome.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Just like Babalu, I'm happy that Scott made this fight happen in Strikeforce. He has, I think a lot of fighters have trained hard for Affliction, and I'm lucky that I can still fight. And I'm very excited. It's for the belt also, and I'm sure that we're going to have a very exciting fight on 15 August.
Okay, fantastic, Gegard. Thank you. Jay, can we get some opening comments from you?
Yeah, also I'd like to thank Strikeforce and Scott for bringing me aboard and having me fight for a title. I think I'm definitely, out of the UFC, I'm definitely, one of the top guys, in line for a title shot. So I can't wait till the 15th. I'm excited, man. I'm definitely, I'm ready to go. I trained a long, hard camp. I was on the other card like other boys for Affliction, and God bless, this opportunity came up, and I'm ready.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. Operator, could you give instructions on how to ask questions?
The lines are now open for questions. If you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad.
Okay. And while we're waiting, I'll start with Babalu for a question. Babalu, have you ever faced anybody that has a style similar to Gegard or someone that you can compare his style with? And what do you expect this Saturday?
Well, I have a lot of guys that train with me and boxing and Los Angeles. It's pretty much the same, like the stop cut or fight. Okay, and Gegard. When you talk about striking, and definitely, my camp, all from Gustavo, Jiu-Jitsu, all the guys are pretty amazing on the ground, and I can put it all together and do a good job in camp. So I'm very confident.
If somebody's near a window or out in a car or something, somebody's going to have to come inside because we're getting some background noise here. Please.
Somebody in the window, my car? No.
Oh, no. Okay. Operator, can we have first question?
Our first question comes from the line of Michael David Smith with AOL Fanhouse. You may proceed with your question.
Hi, thank you all for taking the time to talk to us today. My question is for Gegard. We've heard a lot of different speculation and rumors about what exactly your contract situation is. You're with Strikeforce, you're with M1, you're with Dream. We've heard you may have had an offer on the table from the UFC. You might do some boxing, you might do some kickboxing. What exactly do you envision for yourself going forward beyond the fight with Babalu as far as continuing the fight with Strikeforce, doing your exhibition thing with Fedor, doing your Dream Super Hulk tournament, and so on?
Well, first of all, on 15 August, I have a tough test before me. If I win the belt, I'm a two-division champion, and that's something that I always want to accomplish. After that, I have the Super Hulk tournament. If I win that, then I will be the Super Hulk tournament champion. And there's after the light heavyweight championship, I have one more goal in my own mind, and that's to become a heavyweight champion. But I will do that slowly, and Boxing. I would like to box very, very bad, but I think it will be probably next year. And Strikers has a good relationship with Showtime, so I will be, if Scott let me, I will be on Showtime boxing also. So I have a lot of things on my mind, but first I want to concentrate on Babalu, and I have three fights with Strikeforce, fights, and two fights left with Dream. So I'm happy with my contract, and I want to fight as much as I can.
Thanks. And a follow-up for if you can hear me, audio's a little bad. Scott, how do you feel about promoting someone like Gegard, who's interested in fighting with Dream, interested in boxing? Are you okay with that, and are you even willing, as Gegard said, to help facilitate that, even though you also want to promote him in your own fights?
Well, you know, the situation with Gegard was explained to me, way in advance. I mean, when I saw the fight first, it was him fighting in the Dreams Dreams events, and then eventually going on to win the Dreams tournament. And we sat down. They made it very clear that he wants to box. And I thought there was a lot of synergy between, if we have a relationship with Showtime, can Showtime help us with Gegard's boxing career? And I think they can help out. And I had a conversation with Ken Hirschman, and he said we could, put him in with somebody that could help build his boxing career. So, we would support it because that was explained way in advance. And as far as, fighting in Japan, fighting here, staying busy, I mean, as long as, he makes the fights that we have set for him, and, then we'll all be happy. And, why not?
Okay, thanks for talking to us, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Our next question comes from the line of Steven Morocco with MMA Weekly. You may proceed with your question.
Hi, Scott. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I was just wondering if there was a contingency plan if Nick can't get licensed by the commission.
Yeah, there's a couple of things on the plate, it's something that we'll address at the end of the day if we need to, but we do have a plan in place.
So that fight, he'll get another opponent. The fight won't be scratched. You can confirm that?
Yeah, Jay Heron will be fighting on the 15th of Saturday night, so he'll be fighting for sure.
Jay, how do you feel about that?
I'm just happy if I'm fighting, man. I think I've been through everything bad a fighter could be during his career, so I just chalk it up and keep going forward, Really, I can't control that situation with him, so I try to put it in my mind and, this is my light week right here. I'm just, continuing the same plan.
Great. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
Our next question comes from the line of Loretta Hunt with ShareDog.com. You may proceed with your question.
Hi, my first question is for Scott, and then I have a quick question for Jay Heron. Scott, have you spoken with Nick Diaz and or Cesar Gracie as of Saturday night? I just got an email from the California Commission who's updating us, and they said that both Gracie and or Diaz have not set up an appointment to go get the drug test on today. It was my understanding from the commission that Cesar or Diaz had to call to schedule an appointment with an inspector that's standing by in Los Angeles.
Yeah, we're in touch with Sid, the gentleman that's doing the test, and they have until 3 o'clock today. So it's definitely something that, he still has the time to go do it, and, we're hoping he makes the right decision.
Right. It was my understanding...
Oh, have I talked to... Yeah, I have talked to Cesar.
Okay, and it was my understanding that Strikeforce had to book an extra ticket to actually get Nick physically down to L.A. That's already been done?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. The itinerary and all of the necessary arrangements have been made for him. He just has to show up, and we've made two flights on two different flights that hopefully he's on his way.
Okay, thank you very much for that clarification. Jay, you said in the beginning of the press conference that you're one of the top fighters outside the UFC. I think also you had mentioned, or your management had mentioned last week, that you had gotten an offer from the UFC. Could you talk a little bit about why you did choose Strikeforce over the UFC?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Strikeforce is a great organization, you know, other than UFC. UFC, nothing bad to say about them. They offered me a great deal. But, you know, definitely, you know, the title shot, I can't turn down a title shot right now. That's what I'm looking forward to. That's what I want to be as a world champion. Mm-hmm. You know, I was peaking, I was ready, and I feel I'm ready right now to go in and fight a great fight. And, you know, that's the decision I made.
Right. And just really quick, is the Strikeforce contract exclusive? Are you exclusive with the organization?
I think I'm exclusive in America. I don't know the details. My manager knows more about that. I mean, you know, but yeah, I don't even know 100% right now about that part, but you know, I'm just looking forward to this fight.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thanks, brother. Operator.
Our next question comes from the line of Corey Brady with 5OuncesOfPain.com. You may proceed with your question.
Yeah, this question's for Gegard. You said you were planning on possibly moving up to heavyweight in the future. Obviously, you're good friends with another Strikeforce heavyweight, Fedor Emelianenko. Would there be any possibility, would you consider facing him if it came down to it in the future?
Well, yeah, they're both same management, and I don't think it will happen. But sometimes when the money is right, you do crazy stuff.
Right. And I have one more question for Scott. Scott, if Nick Diaz does happen to be pulled from this card, will the fight still be for the welterweight championship, or will it no longer be for the championship?
You know, that's I think it depends on at the end of the day, you know, which direction we go, and really we have some guys that are ready, but I don't really want to address that until we know what's going on 100%, because, you know, I don't want to go back and forth with Jay's manager and Jay, and but, you know, let's wait till the end of the day, and then we can have another conversation about that.
Yeah, completely understandable. All right, thanks a lot.
Our next question comes from the line of Scott Linesburg with Stockton Records. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, this is for Scott Coca. I must ask you, is this afternoon it, as far as you're concerned, if for some reason he does not get it done today, because obviously there's a few days before the fight, is mine sort of in the sand here?
When you say, well, it's the line in the sand has been drawn because the State Athletic Commission will not allow him to fight if he doesn't show up to take the test.
Okay.
And because there won't be enough time to get the results back if he doesn't show up, do it today. So that's the current situation.
Okay, and you said you had some contingency plans set up. Okay. And I just want to ask, Jay, has this affected your, I know you're saying that you'll fight whoever they put in front of you, but you'd like a little bit, what's the latest you would like to know who you're going to fight, Jay?
I mean, 8 weeks would be good, but in a perfect world, man, but, you know, that doesn't happen. You know, I fought a fight, and a guy came in, and he didn't, he weighed in and everything, and I fought him on a nice notice. So, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, I'm a professional. I'm ready to go. You know, I just want to fight. You know, this is this happened to me with the Affliction August 1st. I was ready for that, and, you know, I'm just happy getting in there and fighting right now.
And just to clarify, one last one, you've already taken your test and everything. You're all set?
Yes, I'm set. I'm ready to go. I'm all my medicals and everything are in.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Scott. Operator.
Our next question comes from the line of Jack Fractor with ProMMA.info. You may proceed with your question.
Thank you. My question's for Scott. Scott, do you know why Nick did not show up for his pre-fight medicals, and are you at all frustrated with him?
Well, you know, I think it's a frustrating situation all the way around. And, you know, why he didn't show up, I think, you know, I heard Caesar told me basically he was in the mountains training and, you know, that he had, you know, he feels a certain way that he basically had an agreement with Armando Garcia about testing, and since Armando's gone and the and no one talked to them and he fought in May, he just felt that why he didn't understand why he had to go do it again. And so we got through that part. I think he understands the situation and the severity of the situation as far as, not fighting. So I think that all parties understand the current situation.
Thank you. My other question was for Jay Heron. Jay, how do you feel you match up with me, and how do you see that fight going?
Feel good. He's definitely a tough opponent, and at this point in my career, that's who I want to fight. I want to fight the best guys I can, the toughest guys. So after the fight, when I win, it means something. It means something to me. I prove something to myself. I feel I match up well with him. I'm in tremendous shape, and I'm mentally strong right now. I'm just ready to go. God willing, this fight happens.
Jack, you good?
Our next question comes from the line of Dave Meltzer with Yahoo Sports. You may proceed with your question.
Okay. A couple of things for Scott. Scott, right now, how's the attendance look for the fight on Saturday?
Yeah, we're scheduled to do 10 and 12,000.
10 to 12,000?
And that's exactly what we were anticipating in the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. So now, drawing a crowd like that, I mean, what do you think that says for what are kind of like your thoughts of what you hope that this fight will mean for women's MMA? Because it's obviously it's the biggest one, and it's kind of it's actually a pretty historic night in that regard.
Well, I tell you, it's like I said in the past before, Dave, is that this fight really was the past regime's fight, but it was really promoted by Showtime and CBS for the last 18 months. And even as a fan, when I wasn't involved with the prior regime, we talked about it internally, me and my friends, saying, "God, I can't wait for that fight to happen. And when it does, I want to go and check it out, and I want to see the fight." So as a fan, I want it to happen. And now as a promoter, I'm very proud to promote that fight as our main event. And I think it is historical for women because it's the first time Strikeforce has had a title belt for females. It's the first time Showtime has had a female main event fight, whether it's boxing or MMA. And so, those two statements, I think, speak for itself. And I think it's going to be a great night all the way around on Saturday.
And what are your thoughts as far as what happens next for whoever wins and then perhaps loses this fight? I mean, if Gina Carano loses, what are your thoughts on where to go and kind of who are you, and if whoever wins, who do you think would be the next opponent, and how big do you think that could be promoted?
Well, the next opponent hasn't been determined, and the great thing about MMA is whether you win, you lose, as long as you put up a great fight, the fans still appreciate it. And it's not like the boxing where if you lose one fight, then you're done and you're out. It's for whatever reason, MMA is, I think it's more the will of the fighter and the spirit of the fight. And after the fight's over, I mean, this is probably the biggest fight of both of their careers, and they all know what's on the line. And after the fight's over, we'll sit down with both of them and determine a game plan for them.
And what are your thoughts as far as for both of them? I mean, have you heard anything from either of them regarding going 25 minutes potentially instead of 9 minutes, which would have been the longest that either of them have ever gone?
No, I haven't had the conversation with either camp about the time, how it would affect them and this and that. But, I'm sure it's going to be in the back of their mind because it's a championship fight, and it's another two rounds more than they're used to fighting with, the minutes that are increased to 5 minutes. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And the strategy, I bet you the strategy might be a little different, from their camps because it's the length of the time.
And on the Fedor front, I mean, do you have any kind of more update as far as perhaps when he would be doing his first match or where or, anything on that direction?
Dave, that's a conversation we could probably have offline. I'd like to just stick to this fight, for the Saturday, and we can talk about Fedor, later today. If you'd like, give me a call.
Okay, cool. All right.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave. Next question, please.
Our next question comes from the line of Eddie Goldman with No Holds Barred. You may proceed with your question.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. I have a couple of questions. First question is for Jay Haran. Jay, you seem to be arriving at a point in your career where, from the fighting standpoint, everything was starting to come together, winning the IFL title and having a very, very good streak of fights over the last couple of years. And then, of course, there were the problems, you know, with IFL going under and Affliction going under. Given everything that you've gone through, the interruptions in your wrestling career when you were at Hofstra and all the problems afterwards, how has that prepared you to go through all these changes of who you're going to fight, where you're going to fight, and when you're going to fight?
I think that's God's plan for me, man. I think that's the way my career and my life has, you know, is supposed to go. I'm always supposed to come back, you know, fall down and get back up. So, you know, I think all this stuff happens for me for a reason and makes me that much more of a better fighter and competitor. And, you know, right now I'm not even stressed about the situation, man. I'm mentally 100% focused. I'm physically in tremendous shape. I mean, you know, everything's going to play out to the way it's going to play out. And, you know, I'm just sitting back doing what I do and, you know, getting ready for Saturday.
How do you get ready for somebody? Because right now, as we're talking, we don't know what's going to happen, where it might be a very accomplished fighter as Nick Diaz is, or possibly somebody else who hasn't been decided, who might have a very different kind of style. Is there, you just generally get prepared and you have different game plans?
Yeah, well, I mean, first off, I mean, you know, I don't have any control of that. So for me to sit back and stress all day about, you know, him going to take his drug test or who I'm going to fight, you know, that's going to make me, you know, make me upset and, you know, do nothing for me. So I just try as best as I can to put that stuff out of my mind and, you know, continue to plan. My plan right now is to try to get my weight down and, you know, and that's it really. You know, I get on a flight tomorrow to get to San Jose and, you know, that's all I'm thinking forward to. I mean, you know, everything's going to play out the way it is and, you know, that's it.
And a quick question for Scott. This is still obviously such an historic card with the Gina Carano Cyborg fight headlining it. The first time a major televised MMA show with male fighters is headlined by a women's fight. Do you think that some of the controversies on that have come up on the various other issues have distracted at all from it? Because even some of the mainstream media, even like the New York Times, has picked up on the historic importance of this, and they gave up covering boxing a long time ago.
You know, I tell you, I think that, you know, it's just, you know, when you have a fighter like Gina, you know, and I actually promoted a lot of Gina's fights earlier in the day, and she's crossed over to, you know, the mainstream audience. She's done some great advertising commercials that were national, fantastic commercial that was on the Super Bowl. She's done some car campaigns, and she was American. She's the girl next door. I mean, you know, those are the things, you know, I equate it to that she's the Danica Patrick of MMA. And so there's more than just the fighter. It's a human interest story that is compelling because of her background and where she came from and who the family is and why she wanted to become a fighter or how she started. And it's just very compelling. And then you put it into a fight where, guys, let me tell you something. It's not like when we sat down with Gina's management, you know, it wasn't like we want you to fight Cyborg right away. But it's something that she wanted to do. You know, Cyborg wanted to fight Gina, and, you know, we were talking to Gina and said, well, are you looking for a tune-up fight? You've been out of the ring for such a cage for so long time. And she says, no, I want to fight Cyborg, and I want to fight her in my first fight. And that's the message that we got, and, you know, how rare is that in this business? So, you know, it's a pretty amazing story all the way around, and I think Gina, you know, crossed over into mainstream, you know, as much as any other MMA star in America today.
All right, good luck to everybody on the show.
Sorry for the background noise. Thank you. It's going in and out. We'll go to the next question, please.
Our next question comes from the line of Darren Blake with Tap Out Radio. You may proceed with your question.
Thank you. Congratulations, Scott, on pulling together this amazing card. It's going to be a really awesome event. I've got a question for Jay. Jay, can you confirm that you have signed a multi-fight deal with Strikeforce?
Yeah, I signed a multi-fight deal with Strikeforce.
Okay. If so, is that deal affected if you lose this fight against Nick Diaz?
I don't know exactly what my manager could tell you more about that. You know, that's what I got him for. He's a great manager. My job is to go out and fight, and his job is to get me the best contract and look for my best interest.
Okay. Where do you think Nick Diaz ranks against the best fighters in the world?
Yeah, I think he's one of the. I think he's a top fighter. I mean, rankings. Everybody has their own ranking system, but you know, in my book, he's a tough fighter. He's a great. He has a great name, and when I got the chance to, when the Diaz fight presented itself, for me, that's a incredible fight, incredible matchup, and I'm excited.
Okay, question for Scott. Scott, there was some controversy in early 2008 where the California Commission actually removed Nick Diaz from the Strikeforce EXC card where he was scheduled to fight Jake Sue Lim. The question is that the medicals were late. Do you feel that the California Commission will do everything in their power to expedite his current results, or that they may not due to the stigma that may be present from that situation last year?
I'm not sure if the old regime was still in, I'm talking about the California State Athletic Commission. I'm not sure if Armando was still around at that time, but I think the California State Athletic Commission didn't have to give us a second chance if they didn't want to. And, Bill Douglas said, look, I understand your situation. It's a big fight. And it's a world championship fight. So he wants to give us every opportunity to have Nick fight. That's why he extended the courtesy of letting Nick go today.
Okay, thank you. And just one other, being that this match was the Babalu Musashi match was originally scheduled for the Affliction Trilogy card, and that Affliction had made a considerable investment in the promotion of the fight, what methods, if any, have you adopted to take advantage of the consumer awareness and interest in the matchup? So, in other words, how are you making sure that the potential Affliction Trilogy viewer is aware that Strikeforce are now featuring this bout?
Well, I think that, as far as the marketing of the fight, I think that people, in the hardcore MMA community are definitely aware of it. And, it was something that we only had a few weeks to activate. So, would we have liked to have 2-3 months? Sure. But with the way it unfolded and the way that, Affliction came to an abrupt ending and canceled the fight, we only had a few weeks to activate. And we did the best we could do. And, the good thing is Showtime has great ratings for the MMA programming, and it's going to be something that, a lot of fans in America haven't seen Diaz fight yet. And so, to fight our world champion, like Babalu, I think it's going to be a treat for the viewers on Showtime on Saturday night.
Okay, thanks very much.
Okay, before we go to the next question, I want to just remind everyone that tonight on show 2 at 10 p.m. begins a series of on Show Sports Presents featuring Gina and Chris Cyborg. Gina will host this special Carano Cyborg week of specials. It'll air at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on show 2 beginning tonight. And there'll be a different installment each night this week leading up to Saturday on show 2 at 10 p.m. So make sure and watch it. It's going to be very, very interesting and well done. Operator?
Our next question comes from the line of Ariel Helwani with AOL Fanhouse. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. My first question is for Scott. Scott, not to harp on this situation too much, but you're a very calm, collected guy. Always say the right things. Deep down, though, with the evolution of this card over the last few weeks, with the other injuries and other issues that have come up, how are you feeling? And how do you sort of, every single day cope with it and say, all right, at the end of the day, it's all going to work out. Everything will turn out for the best.
No, Ariel, that's a good question. And, you know, I tell you, it's, you know, we've been in the business for, you know, 25 years in the martial art fight business. And, you know, when I was in my early 20s and something like this happened, I would freak out and get upset. And, you know, but over the years, you know, it's just, you learn that it's part of the game. And, you know, for what, and you don't even try to create logic behind it, because it's, sometimes there's no logic behind the thought process of, you know, what has happened, or a fighter's decision, or a manager's decision, or just the circumstances that unfold, you know, because of circumstances. So, you know, it's this type of situation happens all the time. Fighters either get hurt, fighters drop out for various reasons, fighters, you know, have to, you know, flunk tests, things like that. So, you know, it's just part of the game area at this point.
Is there anything looking at this particular card has, you know, like I said, gone through quite an evolution. Is there anything that you could look back and say that you could have done differently, or do you just chalk it up to bad luck?
You know, I tell you, I just think it's, you know, it's not over yet. I mean, obviously we have till today, but I can answer that question tomorrow, depending on the outcome.
Okay, and you know, when the Jay Haran, when Joe Riggs came out of the fight against Diaz before you announced Haran, Phil Baroni was very vocal about wanting to take that fight against Diaz. Just from looking at your roster, is he a potential guy, or does the fact that he trained with Jay at Extreme Couture rule him out automatically?
Well, you know what? I didn't even know that Phil and Jay are good friends, or, you know, training partners. And so, you know, but every fight, I mean, I'm sure if, you know, if Phil gets back on a winning streak and Jay's the guy, I'm sure that, you know, that fight could happen maybe someday. I mean, who knows? But it's not happening on the 15th.
All right. And before Gina's last fight, there was a lot of press. She was on late-night talk shows like, what's the guy's name? Craig Ferguson, things like that. Are there any mainstream media events that we should know of in this last couple of days before the fights, with the fighters making appearances or anything like that?
You know, I'll tell you, that's a good question. I know that she's coming into town today. And so I think she's going to be here through the week of the fight. I know we have a ton of, you know, stuff here in the Bay Area here. But as far as the big shows, I don't think there's anything scheduled for this week. And you know what? Look up with Mike or John after this call, and they can tell you exactly what she's got going.
Okay, great. And final question just for Jay. You referenced earlier that, you know, you've had to deal with this type of situation in the past with the IFL, with Affliction now. Is there a point where when you find out about this and mentally in your mind, you're like, you know, can I ever catch a break? Even if the fight happens, just that you have to go through this this waiting game, so to speak.
Like I said, man, I can't control it, you know, and all I could do is, you know, go out there and do what I do, put on a show, and, you know, that's all I could ask for at the end of the day. You know, everything will turn out the way it's supposed to, and, you know, that's it. I can't really stress too much about the situation. Good thing about it is I've been through all this stuff before, and it helps me get through this.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Loretta Hunt with ShareDogs.com. You may proceed with your question.
Wait a second, Loretta. We're going to hold on a second. Jay Guard, I think this is your phone, bro.
No, it's not my phone. I'm in my home, so I don't think it would be me.
Okay. That's 0-1 with me then. Go ahead, Loretta.
Hi. I hate to be an incredibly, incredibly dead horse, but the California Commission has just sent me another email, as well as other members of the media, explicitly saying that nobody has been in contact with them or the inspector regarding this test that's supposed to be conducted today at 3 p.m. And the quote is, if we don't know by noon, then it's done. So it sounds like there's a bit of miscommunication between the two groups. I'm not sure, but I just wanted to pass that along, Scott. Moving to my
Loretta, let me just explain the situation. I don't think there's miscommunication. I think the communication is very clear. And I think that what it is, you know, I think it's the actions that maybe their camp is taking is maybe not, you know, what California would like them to do. But You know what? As soon as we get this phone call, you know, I'll definitely be jumping on the phone. But it's been communicated to all parties. I talked to Sid this morning about, you know, the possibilities of what could happen, what couldn't happen. And so I've talked to the commission. I've been in touch with the camp. So I don't, you know, I don't think there's a miscommunication.
Okay. Scott, in terms of the ticket sales, you said 10,000 to 12,000 people. Are you surprised that this fight's not going to sell out? And do you think because of the misfortune of the card, it once had four title fights, a lot of things have been moved around due to fighter injuries and other issues. Do you think that's kind of hurt the card in terms of what the final attendance will be?
No, you know what, here's the thing is that, you know, we've always, when Frank fought Nick, I mean, we had 12,500. When Kung fought Frank, we had, you know, 15, I think we had 15,000. So 10 to 12 is right in our wheelhouse, and that's what we've been averaging here. Up in the Bay Area, and so, you know, that's what we expected. So, you know, that's really what, you know, the number was when we started. So we geared all of our marketing, advertising, and our budget around those numbers because that's traditionally what we get here in San Jose. So, you know, if Gina and Cyborg, and with the undercard, there are changes, and, you know, but we have an amazing fight card, and, you know, I think the fans here are very educated, and they know that it's an amazing card. And so, you know, the main event is has, you know, captured the most PR in the media, the national media, and you know, but that's pretty much been the number is 12,500 to, you know, 13,000 maybe. So if we can get between 10 and 13 that day, that'll be a victory.
In terms of the magnitude of this historical female bout, what
do you
think?
Back in.
What do you think this the ticket sales say about female mixed martial arts? The appetite that the public has for it and such?
Well, I think it's very clear that, you know, that the main event has a feeling of that big, big time championship fight. And sometimes, you know, a lot of times it'll be, well, most of the times, or all the times, except for this fight, it's been two males fighting and, you know, and it's been this big, big mega fight. But I think that, you know, that this is the first time in history that a female fight has become that mega fight. And really, I think it comes back down to the last 18 months, you know, Showtime and CBS promoting Gina and Christine Cyborg, and we're the beneficiary of all that promotion, and, you know, we're proud to promote it on Saturday.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from a line of Corey Brady with 5OuncesOfPain.com. You may proceed with your question.
All right, I guess this question is for Scott. In this recent email that was just released by Bill Douglas, it says that Strikeforce recently approached him with a replacement opponent this morning, and that the representatives have told them that if they don't know by noon, then it's a done deal, and that the California State Athletic Commission will now begin assembling licensing documentation for the proposed replacement athlete. Have you already figured out a replacement athlete for the bout?
Yeah, we have a couple game plans in place for a replacement for Nick if he doesn't show up. So, you know, we'll make that announcement later if that is the case.
Okay, no problem. And one more question for you, Scott. Dana White recently announced that he was planning on a free UFC event in October. I'd have to guess that's being set up to co-promote the October Strikeforce event. What are your thoughts on these tactics by the UFC?
Well, you know, it's you know, when we did our first Frank Shamrock versus Diaz fight, they kind of programmed us as well. So it's in their business model to do that. So, you know, that's how I feel about it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Our next question comes from the line of Scott Linesberg with Stockton Records. Please proceed with your question.
Okay, but first is this for Scott. You know, clarification is: are you guys haven't been put out a release and any kind of information, say whether Nick does or doesn't show up, as far as like a statement or something today?
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely have you know, a release as to what happened, and then you know, who the new opponent will be.
Okay, and could you imagine if this does not work out, and I know there's still a big if here, so I don't know if you'll tackle this, could you imagine working with Nick in the future, or what would be your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, Nick is a great fighter. You know, we have him on contract for a long time, so we do have obligations to each other to fight and for us to promote, and I think he's, you know, he's really rebounded his career on Showtime, and and with Strikeforce. So would we promote them again? Yes, but I think we would have to sit down and have a conversation with everybody involved if he doesn't make it to L.A.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Scott, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, thanks. Next question, please.
Our next question comes from the line of George Boley with Sports Action Network. You may proceed with your question. George Boley? Okay, our next question comes from the line of Bo Dorr with USA Today. You may proceed with your question.
Bo Dorr?
Yes, thank you. Thank you as always, Scott. I actually wanted to ask Babalu, you have the light heavyweight belt in Strikeforce, and we've heard that the ability to fight for a belt was something that affected Jay and his decision on who to sign with. What does the Strikeforce belt mean to you?
Babalu? Babalu?
We might have lost them, Bob. Yeah, we might have lost him there.
Okay, operator, can you try to get him back on?
Can I ask Jay Gard what the belt would mean to him if he's able to beat Babalu?
Well, for me, it means a lot because it's one of the accomplishments that I want to achieve, and fighting for the belts makes me more motivated and excited, and it's a good-looking belt, so... It's going to be very good on my wall.
Scott, do you guys have pictures of the belts available?
Sure, I think we do. I think we can get you something.
All right. Great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bo. Operator?
Babalu is back on.
Okay. Babalu?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm sorry.
Okay. A question was just posed to you. What does the Strikeforce light heavyweight belt mean to you?
Well, it means a lot. Scott, having had it on my back when I got off UFC. So that's my house. Strikeforce, that's my house. And I plan to stay for a while on that. So, you know, we built the house step by step. And I built my house in Strikeforce. And I'm gonna stay for a while as a champion.
Okay, great. Thank you. Next question, please.
Our next question comes from the line of Ron Krook with Inside MMA. You may proceed with your question.
Hey guys, a quick question for Scott. Scott, there's been several changes to the previously announced undercard, and I know you touched on this, but could you give us some details on the late modifications? And besides the Diaz-Hiron fight, which I guess is still up in the air until this afternoon, do you feel this is the final fight card?
Well, as you guys know, we had the Alistair Overeem fight with Fabricio Verdun, which I think would have been an amazing fight. And, you know, Alistair is our current world champion. Due to unfortunate injuries, you know, two times in a row, he hasn't been able to defend his title. He will be back, you know, once he's healed up and, you know, fight, you know, one of the guys, one of the heavyweights that are on our roster. So that fight changed, and really I feel like the Babalu Gegard fight took that slot. And so, you know, to me, I think the fans that are contacting us are very happy. They feel like that was really the fight at Affliction other than Fedor's fight that people wanted to see. So they're happy that we could resurrect that fight. And Nick Diaz versus Joe Riggs, you know, that fight was supposed to happened, you know, a couple years ago, and Joe beat Nick. And so, you know, everybody knows about the hospital battle that happened after the fight. And so we thought, you know what, they're at different points in their careers now. Let's put that fight together. We did. Joe got sick. He pulled out of the fight. And, you know, Jay, being the IFL champion and, you know, has a lot of credibility. I've watched him fight. He's a great fighter.
And, you know, putting him in this situation for the title shot on Showtime, you know, would have been it's a great thing for everybody. And so, you know, and now we'll see what happens to that fight. Other than that, Josh Thompson broke his leg again. He broke it at the tip of the plate. He was sparring. He got kicked. He tried to rehabilitate himself. But when we asked him for a doctor's note to sign off on the fight, the doctor didn't feel comfortable for various reasons, I don't want to get into. So that fight, we had to pull him. But luckily, you know, we had the relationship with Dreams, and Ishida, who beat Gilbert about 18 months ago, was willing to fight. And, you know, now we have a revenge fight with Ishida versus Melinda. So, you know, I've had a couple of people contact me and say, you know, you have so many dropouts, but your card keeps getting better and better. So, you know, we're very happy with where we're at right now.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. We've reached our time limit. I know there were still several people wanting to ask questions. Time flies by, but we appreciate your participation. Just want to remind everyone that beginning tonight on Show 2, it's Toronto Cyborg Week, the first of a series of five different installments will begin tonight at 10 p.m. on Show 2 on Showtime. Tickets for the live event are priced from $30 on and available at the HP Pavilion, Ticketmaster, and Strikeforce website. Once again, the fight card will start at 5:30 with the first of five non-televised fights. Doors open at 5. We have four world title fights as of right now, and then the fourth title fight, which we haven't mentioned, is going to be another great fight, Gilbert Melendez versus Michihiro Ishida. So this is going to be a great night. At this point, we'll just go to some quick closing comments. Again, I apologize for anybody that we couldn't include on this call to ask questions. So, Scott, do you want to start?
Yeah, I'd just like to thank the members of the media for calling in. And, again, this is a historic night for female mixed martial arts or female fighting in general. And but in addition to the great main event, we also have, you know, three other fights that are going to be could be main events on their own merits. And so a fan can come watch our fights, and you know, for the HP Pavilion, or watch it free on Showtime this Saturday at 7:30 Pacific. So hopefully people come to the arena or tune on in, and it's going to be a great night of fights.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Yeah, the Showtime telecast is at 10:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, delayed on the West Coast, as always. Babalu, can we get a couple of closing comments from you? Again, thank you for taking time out of your schedule.
All right. I would like to thank you guys for having me in the show, and thank you everybody from the media. I would like to say thanks, Scott, again, and to make this fight happen. I would like to say your heart, Musashi, to make this fight happen, too. And everyone from M1, everyone from the Strike Force, I'm very happy. And that's going to be a great fight, and I look forward for next Saturday, this Saturday.
All right. Thank you very much. Gegard, can we get a closing comment from you, please?
Thanks, Scott. And I know it will be a very exciting fight. I hope a lot of people tune in to watch the fight or come to watch the fight, because, we're gonna give an exciting fight, and I'm going to do my best. That's it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Finally, Jay. Jay, you still with us? Okay, we must have lost Jay. Again, thank you all for your participation and support. Just 5 days to go. It's going to be a great event. If you can't be at the HP Pavilion, please make sure and tune into Showtime. Again, to all the fighters, Scott, Micah Fromowitz, Annie Van Tornhout, thanks for taking time out today, and we'll talk to you real soon. Good afternoon.